In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to Clash of the Titles, the podcast that pits two movies with lots in common in a fight to the death to see which one comes out victorious. This week, in the red corner, you go off to fight for your country, come back, but are you a hero? No, not even small town police forces treat you with any goddamn respect. What is a man to do? How about hide out in the woods and teach them a bloody lesson? From 1982, it's First Blood. Well, in the blue corner, you are only supposed to take some bloody photographs. But nobody tells Rambo what to do, not least of all when they're sending him right back to the camp he escaped from. American justice versus American corruption versus everything being on fire. From 1985, it's Rambo First Blood Part 2.
Who are they to protest me, huh? Who are they? Unless they've been me and been there and know what the hell they're yelling about?
It was a bad time for everyone, Rambo. It's all in the past now.
For you!
You're the last of an elite group. Don't end it like this.
Back there, I can fly a gunship. I can drive a tank. I was in charge of million-dollar equipment. Back here, I can't even hold the job. Fucking guards! Ah!
Ah! Rambo, I don't make the orders. I take them just like you. Ah! Mission.
So it's a Rambo Royal Rumble this week, but which film is better? Let's find out together. Welcome to Clash of the Titles.
Release the Kraken.
Hello, Clash Podders. We had orders. When in doubt, kill. I'm Alex Zane and Chris and I had quite the holiday.
I'm Vicky Crumpton.
I'm Chris.
Just the first name now. Wow, that's new. Just mixing it up, yeah.
Do you know what? About time.
Right.
It's about time someone did that.
Screw it, I'm Alex.
Too late, man. He's claimed it.
Wait, we have to stick with the full bore.
He got the single moniker first. Now you're just copying him.
Do you know what? I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. Anyway, who gave those orders on our holiday? Did we ever check?
What orders?
Have you been thinking about just using your first name while I was doing that whole introduction?
No, you said my name earlier in the introduction, so it threw me.
Right, okay. Well, anyway, Chris.
Thanks.
The orders.
That's me.
Yep. The orders, when in doubt, kill. It's how we operated in Austin.
I hope not.
Okay. Should have been there.
Sure.
Should have been there to put a stop to it. God didn't make me. Chris made me.
That's fair.
Right. Welcome to part one of Rambo versus Rambo 2, which for headache's sake, I'm calling these movies over the next two episodes. Because I know, I started watching Rambo because I typed in Rambo to the Amazon search bar because I've never seen these movies, going early.
Yeah.
So I must have watched about 10 minutes of Rambo going, this looks awfully new for 1970s.
Is there one called Rambo?
Yeah.
And is there one called John Rambo?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Confusing.
Very confusing. Nevertheless, if you are new to the show, this is how it works. We're going to be doing Rambo today and Rambo 2 on Thursday, at which point we will declare which is the better film. So the clue I gave on last week's show was One Man Army. Don't even say anything, Chris. I know it's too easy, but there you go. You weren't here. You weren't here to stop me. The guesses are on our Twitter, where we are still at ClashPod, and they came in through the woods, stalking. We're also on Instagram, by the way, on TikTok as well, at ClashPod. And if you're in the business for a little extra Clash of the Visual Variety, completely free of charge, why not subscribe to our Clash of the Titles YouTube channel? So congrats to one of the 237 Garys who listened to the show, but well done to this week's winner with the first correct guess. And guys, got a predicament here.
Right.
So I'm going to need your help. Tim Wilkins got it right with First Blood versus Rambo First Blood Part 2. However, just beating him was regular listener Robert Farley. But let me read you his tweet and you tell me who the winner is, Tim or Robert. Robert writes, the Deer Hunter versus Platoon, unless Gremlins 2 didn't count as covering First Blood versus Rambo First Blood Part 2.
That doesn't sound right to me.
No. What?
So he's suggesting that Gremlins 2...
Yeah.
Is us covering Rambo First Blood versus Rambo First Blood Part 2.
Okay.
And it came in earlier, but he's sort of gone for the deer. So it's kind of two guesses in one.
I'm thinking it's wrong.
You don't care, do you?
I care a bit.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Right.
I like this bit.
Good. It's a good bit.
Yeah.
It's good. We should keep this.
We should keep this.
Fine. You're both winners based on that internal review.
That's
We've got
right
our
decision.
First double winner because yep. No one can make a decision. Right. We're not doing the connection section this week. So on Thursday, I'll be witnessing Rambo versus the Vietnamese, the Russians and the Americans. So today, Chris has it easy as Rambo is only versing some local cops. Chris takes on a journey.
First Blood is a Frankenstein story about creator Sam Troutman and the monster he makes, John Rambo. That monster just wants some lunch. But a man who represents Middle America doesn't want anything to do with this drifter Vietnam vet. So Rambo gives him a war he won't believe. What follows is essentially a slasher movie in the woods, only with no kills. Well, they say Rambo doesn't kill anyone, and people write that Rambo doesn't kill anyone, and it's generally accepted that Rambo doesn't kill anyone, but he really does, I think. Anyway, to be discussed, it all ends with John blowing up the town and the film bottling it by letting him live. For your podcasting pleasure, First Blood. So when did you first see this, Vicky?
Last week.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I've seen the other one and I kind of thought that was it, to be honest.
As in that was the only Rambo movie?
You thought that Part 2 was the only Rambo movie?
Yeah, I did.
They're in the title.
Yeah, that's true. I did think that. I thought it was just called Rambo. And then I realised maybe later on in life it was called Rambo 2, but never bothered to check why that would be.
Right.
So, nice surprise
Some
for me.
Some sort of legal reason, maybe.
For japes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've never... I mean, you know what I'm like? I know it's a thing, latterly, but I'd never seen it before.
Yeah, as I said, it's my first watch. But I've got a good reason why it's my first watch, because I know it's something of a classic, but I, 8 years old, at my friend James Jolly's house, watched Rambo 3 on Laserdisc, and even aged 8, I knew how shit that film was. And so that put me off ever seeing any other Rambo movie. So this was a first watch.
Not a first watch for me, but weirdly, I did watch this after Part 2.
Right.
I watched Part 2 when I was a kid. I'll tell that story on Thursday. I watched this when I was a bit older. So I was a bit. It was a bit of a shock to the system that it wasn't 90 minutes of shite. There was actually something going on here. It was an actual film.
That's just relaxed me a little bit.
It was an actual film.
So, when I saw these on the list,
go early.
Jesus. But I was just so, I was like, I hate that film, and therefore, by extension, I'm going to hate the other one, and that's not true.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's fascinating movie.
That's two votes done for the verdict. Looking forward to Thursday.
It was a fascinating movie. And I was like, so, and that's why, you know, we don't often do a first and second film in a franchise, but we do when they're sort of, they're quite different. They oppose each other. Like,
very,
you know,
different.
like Terminator, Terminator 2 or something. And yeah, in this one, it's mad, the contrast between these movies. And I think it's going to be so much fun to talk about.
Let's do it.
This film is based on a book by David Morrell that was published in 1972. And because I knew we'd get to it on this show, I read it a couple of years ago now. We got there in the end. We took
Four
our time.
Years ago.
So he was a teacher at this time, and his students were just back from Vietnam, and they were struggling to take him seriously as an authority figure after what they had experienced. He got talking to some of the students after class, trying to understand what was going on in their heads. And he said they couldn't sleep. They hated loud noises. They were having nightmares, insomnia, depression, difficulty in relationships. And I guess it's what we would now term PTSD.
Yes.
And so in the introduction to the book, he also says in 1968, the main two stories on the television news were Vietnam and the hundreds of riots that broke out in American cities after the assassinations of Martin Luther King and Robert Kennedy. I got to thinking that the images of the war and the images of the riots weren't that much different. Eventually, I decided to write a novel about a returning Vietnam veteran who brings the war to the United States. Oh, that's good, isn't
it? It's really, really good.
It's so smart. Mm. And the book is great. It's quite different to the film in one very specific way because it's got two points of view throughout the book. You cut between from chapter to chapter, Rambo and Teasel.
Right.
So you really get in Teasel's headspace as well. And it presents this completely opposite side of the story. So Rambo's the Vietnam vet, the Green Beret, the former POW, Medal of Honor recipient. And he sort of represented those disaffected by the war. And then Teasel was the establishment, Korean War hero, recipient of the Distinguished Service Cross, Eisenhower Republican, chief of police. And so they're haunted by different sets of war memories, but equally as controlled by them. Mm. It's fascinating.
Yeah.
And you alternate between each person's anger. You can identify with each of their motivations. So we lose a little bit of that in the film, although I still think Teasel's an interesting villain.
He's interesting. I might be wrong, but he's more sympathetic in the book because you get in his headspace, right?
Exactly, 100%. And Rambo's less sympathetic in the book, I would say. Mm. He's much more driven by anger than the fact that he's been provoked and forced into a corner, essentially, in the film. In the book, he's come back from war with a lot of rage inside of him. Mm. Yeah, in the book, you don't know who to cheer for. In the film, you obviously do. And he said they represent the two sides of American culture as I saw it in the 1960s. Do you know where the name comes from?
John Rambo's name?
Yep.
No.
His wife came home with some Rambo apples, which were big in America in the 60s.
Right.
And he was like, that's it.
What a weird name for an apple.
That'll do. Weird, eh?
That is... I kind of wish I'd known that before I watched the movie. It would be weird going
nicer.
It's like it's a bit like the end of, you know, Indiana Jones when he goes, we named the dog Junior. It's like, yeah, it's named after an apple.
It's quite cute.
It made me think, I remember when I was doing an exam for secondary school and you had to do a creative writing essay as part of the exam. And I wrote some story about a detective.
Yes.
And I couldn't think of a name for the detective.
Right. Mm.
And so I just left a gap for the name all the way through.
Right.
Madness itself. And then, you know, time was ticking down and I had to come up with something. So I sort of panicked and just wrote a name. John Clock.
Oh, I love it.
I guess at 10, I didn't realise that there aren't many people call Clock in the world.
I don't know any.
That's amazing. I thought that was going to go a different way. I thought your English teacher
really
was going to say that is so clever. I've never seen someone just leave a blank.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Leave a blank for
because
a character's
then it's for
name
for me to fill it because in, and I bring all of my prejudices
exactly
to that.
I'm interpreting this person through my own
because
lens.
They are a blank.
A plus.
I will say John Clock got me into that school. So. Make of that what you will.
John Clock.
Naming characters is hard.
It is hard.
Not as hard as you've made it.
No, I was 10. So a film studio bought the movie rights before it was published because it was a big hit. It was translated into 26 languages. The head of Warner Brothers wanted a director called Ted Kotcheff to direct it. He worked on it for 3 months, but then the studio dropped it because they felt it was too close to the Vietnam War to make a story like this, and they didn't think audiences would want to watch it, that it was wrong for, you know, the optimistic 80s. Although I guess this would have been the 70s where this was being developed.
Yeah.
Carol Coe felt differently, though. They'd been handling foreign sales for movies up until this point, and they wanted to make movies. And it was Ted Kotcheff that told them about First Blood, and they were in, and in big time. And this changed the direction of action in the 80s, not just the success of this film, but obviously Carol Coe made 10 of Alex's favourite 10 movies.
Mm, yep.
Effectively.
Yep. They are gods to me.
So they sent it to Sylvester Stallone, and within 24 hours he agreed, but then he started getting doubts because it was a jinxed project. It was the most optioned script in Hollywood up to that point, someone claims, but there were 26 different scripts for this movie floating around,
right?
Which obviously isn't a good sign.
It's funny how much it increases from that very first purchase as well. Now, obviously, there's the inflation corner, which we don't have to do right now. Sure. We'll save that for a different day. But by the time, I think Warner's initially paid something like $125,000 for the very first option. By the time Carolco are buying it, which is only like maybe 5 years later, it's escalated to $375,000.
David Morrell did all right out of this, didn't he?
Yes.
They got Stallone involved by convincing him that he could sort of rewrite the script if he wanted. And so over the course of these...
Everyone else has.
Yeah, have a go. Well. Have a go. I mean, he does know. He has the Oscar. Yeah. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
So the film switches location from Kentucky to the Pacific Northwest. It removes a lot of Teasel's backstory. It makes Rambo victim rather than somebody who's pissed off about what happened to him in Vietnam. Stallone wanted Rambo to have no dialogue.
Wow, okay.
Which, I mean, it's a great idea, but they realised that gimmick, it was a gimmick and it wouldn't work. But it's why we've got is such minimal his dialogue, which is great for the character until he opens up at the end.
Yeah, absolutely. There's that great movie going around at the moment, Brian Duffield's new movie, No One Will Save You, which has a similar gimmick. It works in that because she is very much on her own. But it's that moment where the minute it takes you out of the movie where someone's not speaking, it's great up until the point where you go... It's abnormal for that person to not speak in that moment.
Does he speak in the film we both love this year, Sisu?
Yeah, at the very end. Though.
At the very he has a line at the end.
Yeah.
It works there though.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, yeah, that's true.
But like, they're pulling this off.
Yeah.
Yeah, at the end.
Film,
yeah. We will do that.
It's, I mean, and to end on a joke as well.
Yeah, love it.
Brilliant.
So, Stallone didn't want him to be a crazy murderer, turned him into a lost soul who becomes a victim of circumstance. At this point, they brought on someone who was as big as Sylvester Stallone in the foreign markets at this time, according to Carolco, and that is Kirk motherfucking Douglas. He liked the script. He didn't have script approval, but when he arrived on set, he demanded a lot of changes. He insisted that Rambo dies at the end. This was the big issue. Stallone refused. And Stallone, it's an interesting his point of view. He says it sends out the wrong message to Vietnam vets that your only solution is death.
Mm-hmm.
So he refused. He said, I've made the character an irredeemable character in the book, redeemable in this film. And he also said, remember Rocky, you can't kill Rocky, you can't kill Rambo.
Okay.
That's weird.
Makes no sense.
Yeah, that's
remember Rocky, who's me? You can't kill him because he's me, so therefore... Okay.
So they gave Kirk Douglas an ultimatum, you know, either keep going here or leave. And he drove to the airport and flew home. Sly says he saw him years later and Kirk still believes it would have been better artistically if they'd gone in his direction, but also admitted it would have cost them $1 billion. So they were probably right.
It's he's not alone in that, though. A lot of people at the time, a lot of reviews at the time felt that it fluffs the ending.
Well, there's multiple endings we can talk about when we get there, because there's the book ending, there's the original ending that they shot, and then there's the ending that they ended up with.
Which is still not quite right, but I can't wait to discuss that.
So Richard Crenna was brought in at the very, very, very last minute. This is a thing where they were basically feeding him lines off the side of the set because he didn't have time to learn all these big speeches.
Oh, my God, that's so fascinating, because one of my things... Surprisingly, in both these movies, so maybe it doesn't work, but certainly in this one, I love the fact that you don't know whether Troutman is good or covering his own ass. Like, you have no idea. And I thought, what a performance. I bet he just didn't have a fucking clue
what the motivation
behind each line was. And he was just winging it. And it creates this really ambiguous character.
He does feel like he's walked in from a different movie at some points. It's quite performative. His performance, where a lot of Rambo's internalised, I think Teasel's very believable, and then this guy is like, is this guy on the level? is this a cartoon character? We'll talk about the test screenings when we talk about the ending. But there was a distributor screening that basically went through the roof, and for the first time, Carolco as a studio did something that hadn't been done before. They separated foreign sales and theatrical sales and video sales. And it made them so much money.
which they then used on Cutthroat Island years later.
Well, Rambo 3 was the most expensive film ever made.
Was it really?
Yeah, at that time.
Jesus Christ, that movie's awful.
You can see why, though, because Rambo did well, and then Rambo 2 was like, you know, top three movies of the year.
Yeah. It wasn't his fault anyway. Bloody peace. Bloody end of the Cold War. What a joke. Ruined that movie.
Fun fact about this movie, it's a metaphor of the long-term effects of Vietnam on America, written by a Canadian, directed by a Canadian, and shot in Canada.
That's the best way to do it.
Right, should we do the movie?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, let's kick off with the arrival. And we've got John Rambo walking as the credits are rolling. There's a smile on his face while he's watching kids play in the beautiful wilderness.
So idyllic. So idyllic. The sun bouncing off the lake.
The music really helps here, I think.
The music's amazing.
It was making me think of Incredible Hulk opening stuff. Do we know who the music's by in this film?
Jerry Goldsmith.
Okay. We are up to 19.
Hi.
I'm going to do the list. Chinatown, The Omen, Alien, Outland, Gremlins, Explorers, Legend, Inner Space, The Burbs, Total Recall, Gremlins 2, Sleeping with the Enemy, Basic Instinct, The Shadow, Congo, Air Force One, LA Confidential, Rambo, Rambo 2.
Wow.
And there's about 15 more that we are going
to
do.
Great. Outland in that list too. Glad that got a mention. Glad that episode got a mention.
It's all of our favourites. The Burbs. The Burbs for Vicky. Yeah. Outland for Alex. What have I got on there?
Probably something good.
Not really. I've got Congo.
Right. No then.
So he's looking for Delmar Barry, who served on the same team as him in Vietnam, and he tragically died last summer
this
of cancer.
This bit where he's going through his pockets looking for the photo for his mum, and he's like, you know, all this junk in my pockets. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, I love this guy already. That, like, I was taken aback by how much
he's like Rocky.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll come to that at the end. But yeah, absolutely.
But it's just little things here. You're talking about how big he is, he doesn't fit in the photo. And then she's saying how tiny he was when he died. Yeah. It's tragic. And for someone who'd watched Rambo 2 before this was quite a surprise that we were kicking off yeah. with this moment of real tragedy, all that orange stuff they spread around. It's a heavy beginning. And then we meet Sheriff Teasel, played by the great Brian Dennehy, just moseying around town saying hi to everyone.
Knows everyone.
He knows everyone. He's a friendly guy.
Well, there's a moment, the minute, I mean, granted, I knew what the movie was about, but just the acting. Brian Dennehy, when he walks out of that police station and sort of surveys his kingdom and puts his hat on, you, without saying a word, you know exactly who that is. That is a man who is so self-satisfied and so self-important and genuinely is like, this is me, this is mine, I'm the big dog in town. It's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. And the movie that, you know, this was a job in actor, this turned him into a movie star. He got his own franchise off the back of this.
What?
FX. You ever see FX Murder by Illusion? They made two of them. It made so much money. So he spots Rambo.
I thought you meant a Teasel franchise. I was like, what?
I did too.
Oh, I'd have a Teasel franchise.
I know, yeah.
I asked Rambo if he's visiting someone. He's not happy with his appearance or his clothes. Offers to take him in the right direction.
So help me out. So the film now, when was it? 1982 it came out. So I didn't... Where is the film in its own time period, in timeline though? Because I thought he knew that he was a war vet and he didn't like war vets. And I was like, is he anti-war? Is he? Because then later on when he finds out that he's a decorated soldier, he seems really surprised. So I understand that he doesn't like vagrants, but I thought that the way that, I was going to say Rocky, Rambo is dressed is like, you are a war vet. Is he just,
He thinks he's a drifter.
Okay.
He absolutely does not think he's a war
vet. Even though he's got the flag on his jacket.
It's that, maybe he's being ironic. Maybe he's a hippie being ironic.
Okay. Yeah, okay, fine.
You know
Thank
what
you.
I mean?
Yeah, I do know, yeah.
So he doesn't want him eating there. There's a diner 30 miles up the highway. Why are you pushing me, Rambo asks.
Yeah.
We don't want guys like you in this town. Drops him off, tells him to get a haircut and a bath, and as he drives away, Rambo turns right around and walks back in. So he gets arrested. Teasel puts hand on his gun, threatens to kill him, finds his big hunting knife.
What do you hunt with that? Everything. That's going to get you arrested.
What do you hunt? What do you hunt with a knife like that? Name it.
Right.
Okay. Just saying.
Yeah. I like mine.
But also, I just because I'm so crap with like positioning weaponry in North America, you'd be like, well, you're in the wild, so are you not allowed a knife like that? A bit. Like,
he probably is, but he's not. He's just using an excuse to stop him, isn't
he? Yeah, because he says, oh, you've been arrested for having a concealed weapon. So my brain was like, if he was walking around with it out, would it be all right?
Clearly not in hope. Gateway to Holidayland. Because he does then book him for having a concealed weapon.
Yeah.
So
I just thought maybe he was allowed it.
But... Why don't we have signs? Do we have signs like that in the UK? Like,
welcome
gateway to some...
Hull.
No, like a sign, we have signs welcoming you to somewhere,
we
but
do.
Does it ever say like something like, gateway to Holidayland?
No, it just says twinned with small town in Germany you've never heard of. Yeah. Always.
Yeah. Highgate's got one. It's welcome to Highgate. Gated we don't pay community.
Fuck you, turn around.
Home of Christopher Nolan.
We go to the same butchers or something.
I'm not biting.
They're in. He's in prison. They ask for his name. He flashbacks to being imprisoned in a hole in Vietnam. They strangle him. They flashback to him being strung up in Vietnam. They shave him. He flashbacks to being cut up in Vietnam.
Yeah.
So he snaps.
He does.
Oh, my God. Art Galt. A little bit of a problem. I don't like the fact... Just, if he's got two names, pick one for the movie.
Yes. Well, Will. But they're going, Will. It's like, Teasel. Yeah. I don't know.
I hate films that just don't settle on one name. Surname, first name. Art is like something art, in inverted commas, Galt. And people go, Art, Galt, which also sound the same. I like must have gone back six times going, what the fuck is his name?
I know, and then someone's called Ward. I was like, is that short for Warden? Or is that your name?
But him, Art Galt. Yes. Oh, I love him. He's such a fucking bastard.
Oh, yeah, he's a bad one.
Oh. Again, these cops are awful.
Yes.
Yeah, but the David Caruso cop, he's the one who's sort of...
Mitch.
Yeah, he's sort of... He's almost on the side of right.
Yeah, yeah.
He's questioning what they're doing.
Because
and,
he's a younger guy as well, so he's sort of a little more accepting. These old guys have got ingrained in their sort of Republican conservative, this is how it works, ways.
And he sees the size of Rambo and the scars on him, and he does question, should we be messing with this man?
Yeah, he's the one later who goes, there were like six of us, and he went right through us like we weren't there.
Mm.
So Rambo snaps and escapes. He takes them all out.
Do you love this moment? This I very rarely physically pump my fist in the air, but when he starts kicking their asses, I was just like, yes.
Punching, kicking.
Go on, my son.
Pushes someone out of a first floor window.
Yeah, now does he know it's... I got confused with the geography. He pushes someone out of a window.
He definitely knows it's the first floor because he will have gone up some stairs.
Right, so he doesn't think... Because I know that this idea that he doesn't kill anyone...
Or the second floor, if for our American listeners.
Of course. But I thought, oh, you might have killed someone there.
Like, might have just back from the States. So,
sure, yeah. Sorry.
Just taken into it. We've met a lot of fans.
You didn't, did you?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
Are you being serious?
Yeah.
Really?
Really.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yeah, today's quiz was given to us by one of our listeners.
Really?
Yeah.
I find it just so titillating.
Should have come. Should have come.
I wasn't invited, but okay, thank you.
Titillating?
Yeah.
Okay.
What, do you not think it's a word?
No, I think it's definitely a word.
I do find it... What? What's wrong with it? What's it got tit in it? What? Go on, look it up and see that I'm right. Go on, it's all right, take time.
No, I know it's a word. I just, I'm not sure it means what you think it means.
I think it does.
Okay, so you get turned on. You get turned on.
It doesn't always mean that.
Arousing mild sexual excitement or interest.
But keep going.
That's it.
That's all it says.
That's literally it.
Are you being serious?
Yes.
What dictionary is that? Have I gone really red?
Fucking Google.
You've gone the neck red.
That's why
because I'm just thinking of all the other times I've said this. Oh my God. Just give me a minute.
You don't tell the kids that they're titillating you, do they? Do you?
This is my nightmare. This is a nightmare.
Being wrong.
I don't mind being wrong. I mind being wrong about this with you. Oh God. All right.
We're done.
Right, I'd just like to issue an apology to everyone I've said that word to. I thought it meant lightly amused.
I like you find it titillating that Alex and I met fans. I like that. It's a fantasy.
Do you know what? Many a true word spoken in jest, Chris, if you will.
Ooh, bloody Nikki, hell. Clip that socials. See how red. You're going to have to add a filter. Bring her back down.
What, is it spread to my face?
No, it's all right. It's just under the chin.
I can't believe you thought I thought titillating wasn't a word, when what I really thought was, I don't think you know what that word means.
I am, so we're learning a lot about each other right now.
A lot of fun. Should we get back to the film?
Yeah.
He grabs a knife somehow. He gets his knife back, because I'm pretty sure they were locking that up. He forces someone off a motorbike and he's away. We've got the car versus bike chase through the streets into the wilderness. Alex, you're a resident action aficionado. Do you like this sequence?
It's a good chase.
It's a really good chase, isn't it?
It's a good chase.
It doesn't go on for 2 hours.
Nope, fine.
It's just bish, bash, bosh. We're in and we're out. It looks real. It looks believable.
Good
and it's
stuff.
Exciting.
Love it.
He turns some tarpaulin into a top. As our fashion expert, Mickey.
How you feeling? Practical. Great use of tarpaulin. Why
you
not?
Are wearing a lovely blouse today.
Thank you.
And he climbs up a waterfall.
Yes, he does.
And then the hunt is on, but we're going to take a quick break.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And we're back, and Rambo is being hunted by Teasel, by his cops, by some dogs, by a chopper. The cops start enjoying it. It's like an adventure for them.
It is, yeah.
Apart from Dave Caruso, he's having doubts. Rambo just keeps climbing, and he reaches a cliff edge, and he climbs down as the chopper arrives and shoots at him. Who's shooting, Alex?
Art Galt.
One name, please. Just one name.
Galt. Galt. Let's go with Galt. I'll go with Galt. Yeah. Galt.
So, Rambo's stuck on the side of the cliff. They don't need to shoot him here. The chopper's in a thermo draft, whatever that is, but it's dangerous. But Art Galt is determined
to
get him.
Chris.
I haven't got a problem with it. Rambo jumps onto a tree, hitting every branch on the way down. This is where Stallone broke his ribs trying to perform some of this stunt.
You would?
He's at the bottom of a gorge now, but the cops keep firing. Galt does. And it's a great shot where the camera and the helicopter fly over the side of the tree. I don't know how they shot that. Rambo throws a rock at the chopper here, which unbalances it, and Galt falls to his death.
Yeah.
Is this a murder?
I don't think so.
Ooh, good
question. God, wait, we know my understanding of the law is threadbare at best, so why don't...
He was on his seven bullshit while we were in Austin asking people, what do you think?
What was the consensus?
It was always my cue to go to the toilet. The consensus...
I was right.
No, it was two votes for me and you and one vote for him.
Okay, perfect.
Hey, still not unanimous.
But yeah, not a blanket
not
kind
unanimous.
Of, yeah, fair enough.
Some people are stupid, we've established that.
It was very nice to meet you, Mike. Jesus
Thanks
Christ,
for the support.
Chris.
I mean, you throw rock at chopper.
Yes.
Which causes man to fall out.
But man was shooting at you.
No, no, am I not talking? No, we're not getting to that.
Oh, okay.
Has he killed him?
No, the fall has killed him, so it's manslaughter, I think.
Right.
It feels like it's manslaughter to me.
Yeah.
All I know
which
is...
Which means Rambo's killed a man.
Definitely.
In my movie brain, I was surprised. I thought Art Galt would be around to the end. I thought he was going to be one of the last to be killed because of the way he'd been behaving. So it was a pleasant shock to see him go first. Mm. It sort of answered that question. And also, he fucking deserved it.
All bets are off. The director, Ted Kotcheff, says he was killed because of his own stupidity, taking off his safety belt.
Right. Mm. Oh, I like that. I
hadn't clocked that.
Oh, yeah.
Rambo takes his coat and gun, sews himself up in something that became kind of a staple of the 80s, was action men playing operation on their own bodies. Rambo says, there's one man dead. It's not my fault. I don't want any more hurt. I didn't do anything.
And it is quite sweet that he's quite childlike, because he's like, if I just
bit like
tell,
Rocky.
Yeah, just so much like Rocky. Like, when you see that scene of going up and going, I haven't done anything. It's like, it can sometimes be a trick. Like, oh, look, if you look at me doing this, you don't notice the thing over there, which I've rigged, whatever. But he's actually saying, can we just stop? And it's quite sweet. It's naive. Like, if we just stop now, everything will be fine. I thought that was very touching. It makes him seem quite immature, but in a nice way.
Innocent.
Like, innocent.
Because he's sort of saying, you know, I want to stop because this will escalate, but I also want to stop for my own mental health because I know what I'm going to become if you keep pushing me.
Him saying, I don't want any more hurt, is him saying, I don't want to kill you all.
Yes.
But they don't care, so they fire at him. They get his info here, Vietnam vet, Green Beret, war hero, Congressional Medal of Honor. Yep. He's one man. Those Green Berets, they're real badasses.
Yeah. Teasel says he's going to get that Medal of Honor and pin it to his liver.
That's
fantastic. To John's liver. It's descriptive, isn't it?
It's just unusual. I really like it.
So now we're in the hunting section of the film. Rambo's crafting weapons out of wood. He shoots the dog guy in a leg, so they're panicking now that he's got a gun.
Dogs die.
I didn't know. Do they die?
I think they die. I think it's certainly implied, but they do it in a very good way where it's sort of almost necessary for the story, and it's off screen. They don't glow, and it's not meant to create some sort of emotional response by using a dog's death to make you go, oh, yeah. So, yeah, good. Fine. Okay. Fine with it.
Okay. You've spotted my next section. Right. They say... They now realise we ain't hunting him, he's hunting us. He's dressed like a bush now, and he appears from behind a tree and stabs David Caruso in the leg.
Yeah.
He drops on another from a tree and punches him in the back. He's got them shooting at each other. He traps and stabs another guy's leg, another tied to the tree by his neck. We capture this sense of confusion that you would feel if Rambo's killing you from all sides.
But the thing is, I know, again, he's not supposed to kill anyone. He's jerry-rigged, booby-trapped, whatever. The woods. He's very lucky that someone doesn't die. It's like, if you're going to garrote someone and tie them to a tree, how do you know they won't die? You've been trained to kill.
He knows what he's doing.
Do you think so? Yeah. Like, he knows
he knows the exact amount of pressure to apply.
To not kill you.
And also the height he built the spring-loaded spikes. He knew that they weren't going to go into the chest or the neck. They were just going to go into the little leg area.
What nicks an artery? Dead in minutes.
Yeah, I guess so.
I know.
You're saying there's a chance he might have not known.
I am saying that, I'm saying it's casual at best with first aid.
Yeah, well, I mean, they shouldn't be in the woods with him because in town they're the law.
That doesn't work in corridor, does it?
Out here, if they don't let him go, he's going to give them a war they won't believe.
That's right.
You've got to do the accent because I was going to do it, so.
In town, you're the law. Out here with me. No, I can't do it. I gave it a shot, though. More than either of you did.
Do you know what? Respect.
Thanks.
Because it was embarrassing, but you still used it.
He's saying all this while his knife is to Teasel's neck, and he says his last words are, let it go, let it go. I wish he'd sung those words.
I love the fact, do you know what? In this moment, the fact that Teasel cries, I think he hates himself for crying, which is part of his motivation to take it to the next level.
Ooh, okay.
Because of the self-loathing. You know, he's like a big dog in town, and Rambo's made him cry, and he's like, I'm so fucking angry now.
Well, it's an exercise in doubling down, isn't it? Like, you should just walk away. Yeah. Let it go.
There's a lot of pride involved with this villain. So we've got some escalation now because the state troopers arrived.
It's a fucking war zone. Like, they've set up an actual war room. There's like 200 people. It's mad.
You got paramedics, you got the press. The news say that only the cops' skill training saved their lives.
I love that bit.
Very good, isn't it?
Yeah, that's really good.
Fake fucking news.
Yep.
And now we've got the arrival of Colonel Trautman. it sort of notches it up. It dials it up a notch here when Colonel Trautman arrives. Thank you, Alex.
Titillating.
I bet it was for you. I'm mortified.
Teasel says, whatever possessed God in heaven to make a man like John Rambo? Not a line a normal person would say. Not a line anyone would say.
I wonder if he might be feeding someone.
But it enables Troutman to say, God didn't make Rambo. I made him.
He just must have imagined the character thinking, oh, I can't believe he said that. That's brilliant. Because now I get to say it.
I've been waiting my entire life to
no
say
one
that.
Ever asks.
He recruited him. He trained him. He commanded him. I didn't come here to rescue Rambo from you. I came here to rescue you from him. Oh. We get variations of that line all the way through. We just had one of those.
Yeah.
He tells them you're lucky to be breathing. And then he gets his big speech. You don't seem to want to accept the fact you're dealing with an expert in guerrilla warfare, with a man who's the best, with guns, with knives, with his bare hands, a man who's been trained to ignore pain, ignore weather, to live off the land, to eat things that would make a billy goat puke. In Vietnam, his job was to dispose of enemy personnel, to kill, period. Win by attrition. Rambo was the best. So that speech does what John Wick does in one word. Oh. It's the O speech from John Wick. And it's brilliant. And I always say, you know, I've said it before on these episodes, I love those scenes where someone says how skilled the villain, this hero is to build him up in your brain.
It's the Taken thing from it. It's the same thing. Liam Neeson telling you how good he is and he will find you. There's
just
I love that.
There's just a lot of these in this film. Yeah. Troutman only speaks in speeches about how good Rambo is.
He's like, you'll kill 200 people. Yeah, we got it.
No. If you send 200 men, you need a good supply of body bags, is the line. We see Rambo killing a pig.
I wondered about this. How do we feel about this? Because he can only eat a certain amount of meat to fill up his tummy, and then he's going to have to move on. And he hasn't got any salt to preserve it. So what he's done is he's killed a whole hog for one meal, and it was driving me insane with stress. Like, what do you do? You can't bury it. You're not going to come back. So you've killed a whole pig.
What's your problem with this?
I don't know that it's on his mind.
It just seems wasteful.
He's been chased by
There's not a menu. He can't say, can I have something smaller?
I wondered if he might not settle for a small handful of nuts and berries, perhaps, that he could have foraged from the forest floor. But instead, he slaughtered.
Have you seen the size of the man?
Nuts
and berries.
Nuts and berries.
Vicky, we've established that he was in town for lunch. He still hasn't got that lunch.
He's fucking starving. That is such a good point. I'm so sorry. I just thought, God, would you feel guilty about the waste?
Yeah.
Of the meat.
Again, I don't.
Do you know what? I'm an idiot. He's cooking it, isn't he? Over he makes a little fire. Mm. So he's just going to cook loads of it. That'll keep for maybe a day without being poisonous.
Sure.
Fine. All right. Hog roast later. Yeah. Got it. Just bothered me, that's all.
It's an interesting concern.
I don't like waste.
Can we get back to the actual film?
Yes.
So they radio him while he's eating. Talk to me, Johnny. And Rambo says the title of the film.
Yeah.
All I wanted was something to eat. They drew first blood, not me. Oh, that was titillating, him saying that. So we've now got Rambo versus the sort of army, because they've got a reading on him now, and in the morning they send in the National Guard.
Oh, do you know how I only understand why these guys are so rubbish?
Because of Southern Comfort.
Because of Southern Comfort.
Yeah, me too.
Excellent.
So you've taught us something.
Yeah, you really have.
Because I was like, what is this? Weekend Warriors.
Well, I didn't really. It was the movie did rather than me. Walter Hill did.
But you held our hand when we said, we don't want to watch that.
I've never heard of that.
It's true. So, these guys are basically Gareth from The Office.
Right.
Sorry, apologies to any TA listeners out there. But they fire at him while he's standing by a mine and they're out of bullets. He fires at them. They're all too scared to fire back at him, basically, what happens here. As one of them says, I do this part-time. I didn't come here to get killed. Weekend Warriors being portrayed as idiots. But they do have a rocket launcher.
They do.
Which is helpful in these situations.
Should they have one? Unclear, but they do have one.
They blow up the mine and then they're taking photos like Iwo Jima. I think that's a very effective little moment to just sort of show what idiots they are and not really understanding what war is. Now we've got the calm before the storm. Rambo's moving through the tunnels with a flaming torch.
And it's getting smaller.
Gets more cramped
and
cramped.
And narrower. Oh, I will never do it again. School residential, potholing.
No.
And rats. There's rats on him.
And he doesn't like rats.
David Morrell.
I wrote this.
Yeah,
I was like,
rats.
This is. I think they should lose this bit because
he's meant to be impervious to
exactly,
pain and fear. Like, and he's like, rats!
It's killed everyone in Vietnam. And a few rats.
He's like, get them up again.
And David Morrell reckons their white lab rats dyed brown.
Okay. What, because they're more compliant?
I suppose so. less like rats.
They're actually mice.
oh God, Tango and Cash. Yeah. just unbelievable. for more on that, listen to the Tango and Cash episode.
Oh. All the other day when we talked about it again.
Yeah.
on our Kindergarten Cop. Teasel and Troutman are sitting in a bar having a drink.
It's weird that we come out of the action, isn't it? Yes. And go for a drink. I find that very disconcerting.
Yeah, I guess what's the point of this? I guess the point is to show that Troutman isn't leaving town.
Yeah.
Because he knows that his boy is not dead.
Yeah, because it's a weird moment because... Because Sheriff Teasel is almost apologetic at this point.
He's sort like
of
making up on.
Well, he talks about his pride is what made him want to kill Rambo.
Yeah, exactly. And then Troutman's not that gracious in listening to that because he goes,
"Wait, no, she doesn't kill him.
You're a civilian. Go back to your house, your family, and your little flower garden."
Flower garden.
And it's sort of the politics are quite muddled in this film. We'll get to them properly at the end. But Troutman here talks about they all got confused in Vietnam. I'm not sure what he's saying there. But he does say that the orders were when in doubt, kill. And that's where Rambo's coming from.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. You're right there, Vicky?
Yeah, no, I thought he was kind of saying, I've done a lot of bad shit.
Yes,
too,
I think he was.
But I've turned out all right, sort of. But Rambo, I found it confusing, actually.
He ordered people to do the bad shit so, without having to see it.
Like, when in doubt, killed everyone.
Yeah, well, that's interesting because he'll have handed out the orders but Rambo will have had to, like, carry them out. And then that makes sense at the end when Rambo's given the speech and Troutman's almost, like, experiencing it for the first time.
Oh, that's so good.
Do you know
when he's
like, actually being affected?
Didn't realise how bad it was.
Well, the characters think that Rambo's the villain in this film, the majority of the characters. The audience thinks that Teasel is, but Troutman really is the villain of this film.
Yeah.
He's created a monster and then not supported him. He's just ignored him when Rambo's been trying to get in touch with him. He's back from war.
Yeah.
Just get on with it. I've brainwashed you. I've turned you into a killing machine. Go live your life.
I think the wrinkle is, I love it because when, obviously, everything escalates and when Rambo is wronged at first and he's driven across the bridge, everyone's done that in their life where you know you're in trouble a little bit and you just think, oh, fuck it, I'll just do that one thing I shouldn't do, which could be shouting back at someone down the street, turning around on the bridge, doing whatever. But then you stop because you're scared of consequences. And he doesn't stop. And so when he's like, they drew first blood, it's like, yeah, but if I'm supposed to feel really sorry for you, I feel really sorry for you because you're clearly a traumatised person who isn't fully in control of what they're doing. Am I supposed to feel like that? Or does he...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, fine.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. He's the victim He is the victim of circumstance. Okay.
Especially as, like you said yourself, when he comes out and goes, can we stop now, please?
Yeah.
This has gone too far already.
Yeah, okay.
So Rambo finds a ladder to the light. He gets on a National Guard truck and pushes the driver out in one of the big laughs in the movie. And now he's got a cache of weapons. So that was the calm before the storm. This is the storm. He's driving back into town through a blockade. Day turns into night very fast in this sequence.
It does. We don't know how far town is, though. Let's give it the benefit of the doubt. But he did promise them war.
Yeah, and Teasel knows what's coming because he evacuates the streets and climbs onto his roof. Mm-hmm. Rambo clocks Teasel's position, heads into the police station and shoots Teasel from below. And now we're sort of into the message portion of the movie. Teasel says to finish him. Troutman stops him and says, think about what you're doing. You've done enough damage. The mission is over. Nothing is over, says Rambo. Nothing. It wasn't my war. But then he explains back here there's nothing and he starts ranting and raving. He tells this story about this exploding shoeshine box where his friend was all over him. You get a sense of his PTSD here because he's not really making a lot of sense. It's sort of a stream of consciousness and he just seems utterly helpless. This very manly man that we've just been watching take people out is suddenly crying in Troutman's arms and it's essentially a child crying in his dad's arms.
I just think it's really interesting that there's something I never thought of, like the traumatised soldier speech, obviously, you know, where something really bad happens that's quite gory or quite visceral, like you've seen that before, and it was always really impactful. But when he says, there's nothing here for me, and I used to be in charge of $1 million equipment, and I thought that was really interesting because, like, now I'm being mistaken for I am a vagrant, but I used to be in charge, like, a sense of worth through the value of the equipment that you were allowed to use is really interesting. But also that kind of invader idea that when his friend got blown up, he's like, no one would help. And it's like, of course no one would help you. You're the enemy.
Yeah.
So that's, what did you think you were, what did you think was going to happen when someone got blown up? Did you think that the people in this village were going to come to your assistance?
Indoctrination though, because he's been told.
Yeah, exactly.
He's brainwashed.
Yeah.
Doing the right thing.
Yeah, he's been brainwashed. So now we get onto these endings. So the book ending. This is how David Morrell describes it. At the end of my novel, Colonel Troutman kills Rambo with a shotgun. It's an allegory. Troutman's first name is Sam. He's Uncle Sam. He's the system that created Rambo, and the system destroys him. Simple, effective, works really well for the book.
Yeah.
The original film ending, Troutman gives Rambo his gun. You created me, you train me, now you kill me. He lifts the gun, but he can't kill the perfect soldier he's created, so Rambo reaches for the trigger and blows himself away.
Okay.
So it's sort of a suicide, this original ending. Test audiences nearly rioted after cheering for Rambo and then seeing him die. So the producers shot a new ending in which Rambo lives. They had no intention of making sequels. They wanted to have a movie that audiences liked. Then the film turned out to be successful and they realised how lucky they were that they hadn't killed him off. And actually, that's funny. When I was at the festival we were at, there was a screening of the new Saw movie and the producer came out on stage. And the Saw movie is Saw 10, but it's set between Saw 1 and 2.
Right.
And he said, if anyone out there is thinking about making a horror franchise, don't kill off your villain in part 3. Because it really screws things up. Which I really thought was funny.
They're going to just get, it's going to get a smaller and smaller gap. It's going to be like, so this one is set between 1 and 1 point, so this is 1.25.
Oh, I do think the next one will be between 1.5 and 2. I really do.
Wow. Finer and finer, slicing off finer and finer bits.
So that test screening that they referenced was in Las Vegas. And yeah, the audience is just too far on his side by this point. I think it's the right decision. You're saying you think they balls up the ending?
Yeah, it's not to do with that though. I wouldn't have been in the riot. I'd have been cheering them on though. I feel that he has to survive. I you know what I'm like with a happy ending. I don't like movies where you've got a hero who is a sympathetic character and you are like, I understand why you're doing this, and then he has to die. I don't like it.
I would have had Troutman kill him.
Of course you would.
Because there's nothing for him. It's putting him out of his misery. So in some ways, it's kind of sympathetic. I mean, it's brutal, but...
Yeah, and actually, if you see where his life goes over the next few movies, he was better off dead, probably.
It's just, and also, you're not gunning for the sequel. It's such a neat ending as well. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, so with this ending, he's arrested and taken out the front door as Teasel is taken away in an ambulance. So we see that Teasel survived as well. We weren't going to do the connection section, but one thing that does connect these two films randomly, or not randomly, but just unfortunately, is the horrible songs that play over the credits.
It's madness!
I mean, it's insane.
It is.
If you made that mistake once, fine. But doing it a second time and getting your brother to sing it that time is disgusting, frankly.
Piece of time. Cracker. Cracking song.
Amazing.
So, yeah, we hear this shitty song as Troutman and Rambo walk away and nearly spoil the whole bloody thing. And that's your lot.
Lovely.
You want to do some bits and bobs?
Yes.
Sure.
Vicky, favourite scene?
So, a shout out for me, first time viewer. I was unclear as to what Rambo wanted at certain points because he wants to go. He's lied, I'm going to Portland, but he does have to keep walking. Then at some point he's escaping from the police station. Then he's in the woods. Then he wants revenge, but does he want revenge? Because he's got forward motion. Is he trying to leave or not? Like, there is a point in time where he's wasting time, really, setting booby traps when he could be stealing a march on these people and making a bid for freedom. So I was like, what do you even want? And then the speech at the end was like, oh, I get it now. The mission was the mission. You just needed a mission. Because once you'd been, like, reactivated, you don't have a plan of, like, I need to put some distance between me and this place or whatever. I need a mission, and now I have a mission, and my mission is complete the mission. As sort of circular as that is, but to a man like that, it makes sense. So, special mention to that. But my favourite scene is Booby Trap in the Woods, because it's an actual horror film, and I can't believe it was... Is it a 15 or something? Like, the way that it's shot in the dusk and those spiky wood things, I thought it was terrifying.
Yeah, no, that's my favourite scene as well, because it ends with that speech where he says, I'll give you all you won't believe. And I like the way he says it.
Sure.
I mean, we've both had a go. You have to just try it once.
No!
Right.
I'm still coming down from titillating, right, so sure, give me that.
Sure. But yeah, that speech sort of sent a shiver up my spine. I just think it sets the whole movie out in one moment. Alex?
It's a toss-up between Art Galt's death, which I just loved because it surprised me and I was so happy to see him go. Oh, that speech at the end, which really hit me. And it's like so many things, it's the reaction shot that really sells you on it, seeing someone else reacting to it. And when you actually see Troutman's lip begin to quiver as he realizes what Rambo has actually done at his command, like, so maybe it's a little bit of self-loathing or self-realization, but it just really hit me. And yeah, I'm picking Art Galt's death.
Yeah.
Great. Who's your most valuable whatever, Alex?
I almost wanted to give it to Jack Starrett as Art Galt, but it's a close call for me between Brian Dennehy and Stallone. And I'm giving it to Stallone. Now, I just want to explain, I never watched Rocky until we did it on the pod. Mm-hmm. I'd never seen this until we did it on the pod. I came to Stallone around Cliffhanger was the first movie I saw Stallone in, and then followed by Demolition Man, probably. So he was always, I mean, he's great in them, but he's Invincible, Action Man, one-liner mode. That's the Stallone I knew. Mm. And so I never realised he's actually a very good actor. And I, you know, watching Rocky, but especially watching this, I was like, man, this guy's good. That bit at the start, like I said, was like, well, there's junk in my pockets. I was like, oh my God, I love him. So yeah, it's Stallone because he's brilliant in this.
Have you seen Copland?
No.
That's the third film. If you go Rocky, First Blood, Copland, they could be almost like a trilogy. And okay. That's the good one. But that's him acting with De Niro and Liotta as well.
And he's good.
Yeah. Wow. He's the lead. Right. Ah, we'll do that sometime. I've got Stallone as well.
I don't. Is that bad?
No, but I'll just quickly say mine. His eyes are so expressive in this film.
He's like a little puppy.
Yeah. And you know what he does very well in Rocky, in Copland here? It's earnest. He does earnest really well, which isn't a quality I think about. Like he's just genuine and believable, and I feel his pain when he's emitting pain. Vicky.
It's the score, actually, which I don't do very often, but it really surprised me, and I think it elevates this film. I love all the social commentary, and it starts with a bit of like almost social realism, and then once you get into the car chase, that's gone. But it's fine, that's what it is. But the score is from a better film sometimes, I think. Sorry. So the score.
Okay.
By Jerry Goldsmith.
And what would you change, Vicky?
I think there should be a runaway train in the mine shaft, and I think he should get on it.
Like Indiana Jones?
Yes.
Wow.
Not really. That's not my real choice. But I do think that. I think it would be awesome.
Because when you saw the rats, you're like, Indiana Jones. Yeah. And then you're like, actually,
I can't stand.
They should lean into this.
Yeah. Oh, look, there's a little wooden cart thing. So I know I like it how it is, which is he starts in the police station, but you don't see any actual civilians. Then we're in the woods. Then we go back to a residential area. But I think we should have, just to really crank up the social commentary, we should see some civilian people, residential people, reacting to him at the start. At the moment, it's him versus the police, and then we go to the woods. When we go back to the residential area, the town is cleared out, so you don't get to see a civilian person's reaction to this.
So you want to see, basically, you just want to see someone tut.
Maybe, yeah. Or what would they do to him? Yeah, they're like, oh, he's gross. Or would they embrace him? Or whatever it would be. Yeah. So he really has no
get
home.
Out.
Because Brian Dennehy represents Middle America.
You're not welcome in Highgate.
You've been practicing, right. You see. What do normal, in quote marks, people feel towards him? Does he have any home to go? Will he have to walk forever? Because he's not welcome anywhere, kind of thing. That's what I would
like
do.
Like the Littlest Hobo.
Yes.
That would have. That's what they should have done with this franchise.
Don't
want to settle down until tomorrow. I'll just keep moving on.
And then freeze for it. Oh, yeah. Cute.
Great. Great. We are really nailing the 80s theme tunes.
For me, Troutman's got to kill him at the end.
Yeah.
It's the right ending for the film, not the right ending for the franchise, because I don't know what you do in Rambo First Blood Part 2 if he's dead. It's a weird movie, but
it's Rambo 0.5. You take the saw thing, yeah. You go, it's just set just before the events of Rambo.
Alex, what's yours?
So I said I had a problem with the ending, and it's such a small change, but it really bugged me when I was watching it. I like the ending. I wanted him to live. You see Brian Dennehy, Teasel, is being stretchered into the ambulance. I need a close-up of his face. I need to see the face of the man who has caused all of this, who has been allowed to live at the very end by Rambo through Troutman's help. I want to see whatever expression he has on his face. Like, I want I want him to sort of, is it regret? Is it like, I'd have done the same thing again? Is it like defiance? How is he feeling as he sees Rambo being walked away alive at the end by Troutman? And I don't get that. I'm robbed of that. And I think Brian Dennehy is a good enough actor that it would have just added that little that little soupçon or something at the very end there. And I'm just surprised you don't get that.
And then he could just pull out his eye and it's all shiny.
He goes, watch my next movie. I'm nicer.
That's you can't see me doing it, but I'm doing what he does in Cocoon, everyone.
Yeah. Scared the shit out of me when I was a kid.
I'm an alien.
Do yourself an injury.
I'm an alien.
That bit where Steve Guttenberg watched the woman woman getting under.
It's terrifying.
It's so scary. It's and I've just realised how wrong that is now. At the time, I was like, this is totally normal.
This is normal. Yeah. We're allowed
Jesus
to do this.
Christ, the 80s. Oh, what an era to
what
grow up.
What a mess.
In.
Yeah. And we're done.
Yeah. Was it? Yes. next week, we'll get onto that in a moment because we're going to do a quiz.
Yeah, we're going to do the quiz that long-time listener Mike Byers taught us.
I'm Mike!
In a pub in Austin.
Brilliant.
So it's not going to take long.
it's
a very silly quiz. Yeah, it is quite interesting. So he pointed out that on IMDb, when on the first page of an actor,
yeah,
at the bottom, you can scroll along their
carousel,
films.
A little carousel.
Okay, yes.
Before clicking on the films, and then it goes into a list. Mm.
Okay.
So before you get to the bulk of the films, it says known for.
Yes.
And there's four films that an actor is known for.
Yes.
According to the IMDb algorithm. Yes. This got me quite annoyed when we were sitting there. What is this based on?
Okay.
It must be an algorithm.
You can imagine. We're a few margaritas.
I was enraged.
Firing off emails.
He had to take himself away to the toilets at one point because he didn't want to be involved in the game
actually,
because he didn't believe
no,
it.
No, that was when you brought up Seven. I went to the toilets. I didn't go, I stormed.
Yeah,
he did. So simply this week, let's go, you know, both guess one after the other.
Okay.
What is Sylvester Stallone known for? What four films?
Rocky.
You go first. That's correct. 1, 2, Vicky, Alex.
Rambo.
No.
Wow.
Vicky.
Cliffhanger.
No.
Ugh. Alex. Demolition Man.
No.
Stop When My Mom Will Shoot.
No.
Shit.
When I've said Rambo, because you covered all the Rockies, so that's covered off all Rambos.
No, I've covered off the one called Rambo.
Okay. First Blood.
No. You thought you had it there.
Okay.
Rambo, First Blood Part 2.
No.
Flippin' heck. Judge Dredd.
No.
Bloody hell.
Copland.
No.
Oh,
Daylight.
No.
Oh, that's a good guess. Rambo 3.
No.
Rambo. Last Blood.
Fuck. No.
That TV show that,
no.
that he's in.
No, it's only films here.
Okay. I don't know then. That's it. I've run out.
Well, we've done one of the films on the podcast. We're going to do one of the films on the podcast, and I'd like to do another one of the films on the podcast.
That's all of them. We've done them. that's it.
Wait, hang on a sec.
He's wrong.
This is ridiculous. There are loads of Stallone films, and we've done Cliffhanger.
And these are some of the most successful Stallone films.
Cliffhanger.
Well. No.
Someone said Cliffhanger. Have you said Cliffhanger?
Yeah, I said it, yeah.
I'm drawing a blank. This is why I haven't seen any Rambo movies.
Okay. You've been doing sequels. Sequels do count.
Oh, okay. Rocky 2.
No.
Rocky 3.
Correct.
Brilliant. And also Rocky 4.
Correct.
And also Creed.
Correct.
Yeah,
it was a draw. Well played. It was a draw. So they were all Rocky films.
Brilliant.
Oh, okay, good. That makes me feel better that we weren't just idiots.
No,
well.
You weren't. You weren't. Right, okay. That's why I wasn't going to do it if it was too obvious. I was like, oh no, this is actually quite hard.
good. All right, good. Right then, that is us done, apart from looking ahead to next week. And do you want me to tease what we are starting next week to help with the clue, or shall we talk about that on Thursday? Do you know what? I'm just going to say it because it's my most exciting time of the year. It's my most exciting. We count down to the greatest night in the calendar, October the 31st, All Hallows Eve, which means starting next week, we've got 3 weeks of Clash of the Titles, Shocktober.
Yeah, which means we take it into November then, I guess.
Yeah, we are.
Going to have to.
I'm happy with that. You happy
with that?
That's
fine, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Great.
Let's
stuff.
Take it into January.
Oh, I love Shocktober.
Me too.
I love it so much. So that will help with the clue, which Chris has got, because it is going to be a pair of horror movies. Chris.
I don't know what possessed me to pick these films.
Fucking hell.
What? I just don't.
Yeah. Great stuff. That is your clue for next week's pairing. We will be back before then on Thursday when we talk Rambo First Blood Part 2 and see which film will be victorious. Until then, please subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at ClashPod. Till Thursday, have a great week.
Clash of the Titles is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out for a chance to win the French Open title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV, live in HD. Don't miss a moment with daily live coverage and match replays on demand, beginning Monday, May 20th. Be there for all the unforgettable moments. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.